Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
And welcome into the Devil's Cage alongside Blaine Ferguson. I am Ryan Bafalukas, and another episode for you, Blaine, talking UFC on Fox 5 this Saturday. Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz for the UFC lightweight title. Also talking a little Ronda Rousey, talking a little welterweight title. Blaine, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, Ryan. I'm absolutely ecstatic about this this weekend's fights. Absolutely, without a doubt, the most stacked fight card in network television history.
I just want to say thank God for all, literally thank God that no one has gotten hurt off this
in the main card. Yeah, because honestly, I'm kind of it's you wouldn't be in the minority if you're to say, like, you know, I bet someone falls out. You know, like it makes sense. It seems like it's becoming like an inevitability for someone out of a main card. The main cards can seem so great far in advance, and then but it's like, no, someone's gonna drop out.
We saw that I think yesterday. Forrest Griffin tore his MCL.
Yeah,
he's off of UFC 155. His fight with Phil Davis is done.
Phil Davis is gonna be moved to another card.
And you're right, this card is absolutely stacked. The main card on Fox: Mike Swick, Matt Brown, BJ Penn, Rory McDonald, Mauricio Shogun Rua versus Alexander Gustafsson, and then for the lightweight title, Benson Henderson and Nate Diaz.
You have two UFC Hall of Famers in this card. Shogun and BJ are both going to be Hall of Famers. You have two of the most, like, the quickest rising stars in the UFC, Gustafsson and McDonald. And then you have a championship fight that's going to be one. I would not be surprised if this turns out to be fight of the year.
Yeah, and I think you and I talked about it a little bit, I think, last month. The UFC finally seems to be getting the formula right with Fox.
This is, I mean, in theory, I mean, we'll still see how the numbers come out. You know that they're going to do well in their key demographics. You know, in their peaks, they're going to do well. The UFC has done well in peak viewers and in their in key demographics in all their Fox cards. But the key is to see, you know, the sexy numbers, as you will, like the average viewers. For the whole telecast.
Well, because it started off so good. You had Velasquez and Dos Santos getting 8.8 million viewers.
This is shattering
records.
Right. This is the first title on Fox since that one, right?
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. And also, we talked about how the formula should be, you should have like the name guys, like BJ Penn and Shogun.
And they bring in kind of the less hardcore fan.
Yeah.
The fan that knows one or two names. Wow, BJ Penn's fighting on this card. I like BJ Penn.
Yeah, I've seen him fight or something like that. Or my friends are gonna want me to watch his fights. And then you have the young contenders, Rory McDonald and Alexander Gustafsson. You have the people who are the future of MMA, and you know, both maybe a couple fights away. Gustafsson, one fight away from potentially a title shot. And then you have the championship. And maybe not the most sexy championship, like light heavyweight or middleweight.
It's a championship that might not sell well on pay-per-view. Yeah, it's only going to sell.
Maybe get like 300 tops. You put that on Fox, and you get those non-mainstream fans. And with a fight like Benson Henderson and Nate Diaz, it's impossible. We're going to get fireworks. We're going to get two people who love to press the action and two people who will leave everything in the octagon, and that's what you need for a Fox card.
Should be a great night of fights. Again, it's live on Fox, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time in Arizona, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We will break down the Fox card in a little bit, but first we're going to get to the opening round, as we always do, in the Devil's Cage. And a couple big headlines came out today. Today was the UFC on Fox 5 press conference with Dana White. And at the end of the press conference, he presents Ronda Rousey with her UFC Women's Championship belt. Ronda Rousey becomes the first female champion in UFC history. And he sets a date, Dana White does. He sets a date for her first title defense. It is February the 23rd, UFC 157 at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. And she will face Liz Camuche.
In the main event.
In the main event.
In the press conference today, Dana White did say it is the main event. And it was interesting how they said, you know, why Liz Camuche? Like, Liz Camuche is kind of unknown, especially in the women's.
I didn't know who she was, honestly.
Yeah, neither did I. And Dana put it pretty bluntly where she was the one who said yes. Said, you know, you guys don't like it when I answer like this a lot of the times, but she was the one who said yes. And so I guess other people are not wanting to fight Ronda Rousey. And, you know, that's not really a controversial thing to say because, you know, six first-round arm bars, six victories, zero losses. Not a whole lot of people are wanting to fight Ronda Rousey right now.
No, people aren't really lining up to fight Ronda Rousey. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with this whole women's MMA. And Ben Folks has a really nice piece on MMAJunkie.com about it in terms of the worst case scenario for the UFC is, well, what if Ronda Rousey gets hurt? What if she loses? Sean Alassadi from MMA Fighting tweeted she has an 8-fight contract with the UFC. So obviously there's long-term interest and there's a long-term commitment to Ronda Rousey. But what about other women's MMA fighters? How many women's fights are we going to see on prelims cards? How many will we see get to the you know, pay-per-view portion?
I think the only ones that are going to get pay-per-view portion are going to be championship fights or number one contender fights. I don't think, at least not now. You know, I would. You know, I have nothing against women's MMA. I think they're fantastic athletes, and they, you know, if the talent's there, they deserve to be on the main card, regardless of sex or
exactly
of, you know, name value. If the talent's there, and they'll sell a card, I have no problem with putting women on a main card. For now, I think until they build that fan base, I think it's just going to be Rousey title fight or number one contender fight. Now, you say if Rousey loses, then you have a storyline. You have maybe a rematch or, you know, a number one contender fight. And I think Rousey has the personality where, regardless of if she loses, she's only 6 fights into her career. Regardless if she loses, she's going to still have that draw factor where, you know, she's a beautiful woman. She's been on ESPN, the cover for ESPN.
On the cover of it. She's been on Conan. She's been on Jim Rome.
I don't think the world ends if she loses. I think that's an overreaction a little bit.
The other kind of big news that broke today is GSP telling UFC President Dana White he wants to fight Nick Diaz and not Johnny Hendricks and not Anderson Silva. Dana, when faced with this question, says we'll probably give GSP what he wants. I think he said GSP doesn't ask for much. He's been wanting to face Nick Diaz. Obviously, Nick Diaz has called GSP out numerous times, dating back to last October when he beat BJ Penn at UFC 129, I believe, or 127.
In an absolute war. That was
a great fight. And he just starts calling out GSP. You got the notion GSP wanted Diaz to beat Condit.
Yeah.
So he could fight Diaz. Condit wins. And it's interesting. Johnny Hendricks was on Twitter just saying, just give me a shot. Yeah, he says, I want a chance.
Yes, he says, yes, I will still sit out if I don't get a title shot. His next tweet, besides retweets, were, because I don't want to fight anyone without a belt, you see. He says, I don't really know what to say, but please, Dana White, give me a shot at George St. Pierre. If you want to fight, I will give him anything he can take. And then you have Jake Shields kind of calling out Hendricks and saying, like, you know, come at me first, or just kind of calling him out. And then I saw something funny. Charlie Brenneman, the Spaniard, tweets, pretty sure Shields should turn and run from Hendricks, not fight him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Jake Shields is really that high up on the totem pole in the welterweight division.
At one point he was.
Not up to Johnny Hendricks' level.
No, Johnny Hendricks, I think, is kind of getting the short end of the stick.
I feel
bad for him. You know, I mean, I understand where Dana's coming from, though. First and foremost, the UFC is a business, and it's a fight promotion, and they need to sell fights. Diaz is going to sell the fights. Diaz will have higher revenue, it'll have more pay-per-view buys, and probably have a bigger gate.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you can say, well, GSP is going to sell the fight alone. You don't really need...
And that's the thing. If the fight's in Canada, the fight's going to sell out anyway.
Yeah, because it's GSP. Regardless of if it's
but
Hendricks
I agree,
or Diaz.
It will do higher pay-per-view numbers with Nick Diaz.
And Hendricks is going to get his title shot. It's. I mean, if he's for real, which I think
They said Anthony Pettis was going to get his title shot too.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's been bad luck with them.
Anything can happen, but I think Hendricks will eventually get his title shot. But yeah, you can't help but not feel bad for the guy almost.
Mm-hmm. So it's looking like maybe GSP Diaz maybe in May, maybe April. We'll see that fight, and then again maybe in November for GSP's next.
GSP
next
Silva
title defense, potentially GSP Silva. That's the fight that I think. If you're a which fight do you want to see more? Do you want to see GSP Diaz? Or do you want to see GSP Silva?
Selfishly, I want to see GSP Silva just because I think I don't agree with the people who say it'll be an absolute bloodbath. Like I think Anderson does win, but I don't think just because GSP is a smaller guy that he gives up so much where he just gets dominated.
Yeah.
I don't think GSP gets dominated in the fight. I think it's a really, really good fight. But I think Anderson maybe wins by decision.
All right. Really?
No, I think, never mind. Let me take that back. If it goes to decision, I would not be shocked if GSP won.
Mm-hmm.
I think Anderson needs to go for the finish. I think he probably does finish him with a TKO. I don't know because it's just...
It's hard.
I can't even predict it. I can't even predict it how it would even happen.
And it's far off. I'm not sure. It seemed like the forces were coming together to make a super fight. And then it seems like GSP is the one that said I don't really want Silva.
Which I mean it's understandable. He'll be giving up a ton of size and be having to go up.
He has
up
to
and
go
wait.
Up to 180 or like 185 depending on what kind of catch weight or if he goes up to middleweight. I'm very intrigued by GSP Diaz. I think the UFC primetime would be excellent for that. Mm-hmm. Condit Diaz was incredible.
Yeah.
You saw a whole different side to Nick Diaz that nobody really even saw. And I the build-up to the fight's going to be incredible. But again, it kind of brings back to that question, what has Diaz done to deserve a title shot? I think I saw in a tweet like...
Yeah, he got suspended
suspended.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Hendricks has won five straight in a row, including beating guys like Campman, Josh Koscheck.
John Fitch.
Is it fair? No, but like you said...
No, it's not at all.
It's a business, and sometimes...
Yeah, it's a promotion, and their first business is to sell fights.
Yep. All right, on to UFC on Fox 5. Again, it goes down live on network television, 8 o'clock in the East, and it culminates in the lightweight title fight, Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz. And we'll break down the main event, Hendo Diaz. Blaine, let's talk a little bit about Nate Diaz first.
Well, you know what? I got a breakdown of both fighters. Nate Diaz, top three victories, Donald Cerrone. He looked great against Cerrone. Looked great against Jim Miller. He beat Melvin Gillard. His strengths, I'm going to have to go with his boxing. His boxing is very precise, much like his brother's. I mean, it may not always look so tight. You know, it's very kind of out there. He's very out there with his punches, but he lands them. His jiu-jitsu is a black belt under Cesar Gracie. Very skilled when it comes to the ground, and he presses the action. He's constantly moving forward. He constantly is just marching people down. I mean, it's weird. It's him and his brother out there almost, you know, identical when how they fight. They both just completely just step forward constantly. Weaknesses for Diaz. He's struggled with good wrestlers in the past. Rory McDonald. I mean, granted, Rory McDonald was a much bigger guy than Diaz, and it was clear because Rory was kind of throwing him around like a rag doll. He struggled with the wrestling of Rory and with Maynard, and then the trash talking. Some say it's a strength. I think it's a weakness. I think too much trash talking, you leave yourself out there. Your mind's not focused 100% on the fight. You know. You know what I'm trying to say? You could leave yourself out there to get hurt. What about your thoughts on Diaz?
Well, you look at his last three fights, wins over Miller, Cerrone, and Gomi. He's gotten bonuses in all three. He's gotten bonus. He had submission of the night for his submission against Miller, fight of the night for his decision victory over Donald Cerrone, which was an absolute war at UFC 141. And then against Takanori Gomi, he submitted Gomi via armbar for submission of the night. Five times he's won fight of the night. Five times he's won submission of the night. he's a warrior. And it's like you said, it's different for Henderson. And in his last two fights, he was fighting a guy who was a key counterpuncher and would go back. That was and that was Frankie Edgar. Diaz is not going to go back at all. Diaz will start the fight. They'll meet at the center, and then Diaz will keep pushing forward. So it's going to be different, and I think it bodes well for a fight of the night because both these guys like to go forward.
And Henderson talked about in the press conference where Frankie also liked to go forward. So his last two fights, he said he hasn't been able to fight, you know, the style that he likes to fight, which is aggressive. Yeah. And, I mean, that's true because Frankie is constantly always – you know, bobbing and weaving and constantly moving forward as well. So he's had a counter.
Diaz will be there to hit.
Yeah,
Diaz is going
to
be there.
Diaz is not going to try to, you know, move around a whole lot. He's going to be in front of Henderson, and Henderson's going to have targets.
And I think Diaz is a little better on the ground than Edgar and with his jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah. But when you talk about wrestling, Frankie Edgar is
true.
A ridiculously talented wrestler.
Uh-huh. Both these guys, Henderson and Diaz, both really good jiu-jitsu practitioners.
Yeah, and then I thought, you bring up Henderson. Henderson's top three victories, in my opinion, is Frankie Edgar. His Frankie Edgar wins. Those mean a lot. Frankie Edgar is one of the most talented fighters in the UFC, and is crazy tough to beat. Ask Gray Maynard, ask BJ Penn. They've both had trouble finishing or trying to beat Frankie Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tough. Clay Guida's a warrior, doesn't get beat a whole lot either. Don Cerrone, he's beat Don Cerrone twice. I mean, even though Diaz has beat him twice, the wins still mean something. Henderson's strengths, his wrestling, he's a very talented wrestler. He's wrestled for a good majority of his life. You know he's got those tree trunk legs. We've seen him in person where he is a stacked guy.
His calves and his quads are incredibly thick.
He's built. So I think he's going to have a little bit of size advantage or strength advantage on Diaz. He's going to be a little bit stronger. He possesses a more diverse striking repertoire where it's not so much where it's just boxing like Diaz. Diaz isn't going to throw any like leg or high kicks or, you know, spinning back fists or too much elbows. He's going to look to punch Henderson in the face, plain and simple.
Yep.
I can't, you know, cut it down to anything more than that. And Henderson's got a good chin. We all know the Showtime kick. It's in our intro where Pettis lands that kick. It didn't finish Henderson.
Nope.
And that's probably one of the most impressive kicks to the face I've ever seen in my life. Maybe Anderson Silva may want to have something to say about that, or mm-hmm. you know. But still, he's got a chin. Henderson doesn't usually get finished. His weakness, speaking of finishing, he hasn't gotten a finish since the guillotine choke against Cerrone in 2010, in April 2010. And so although he does have that power, he almost finished Frankie Edgar with that
with the upkick.
Yeah, with the upkick. He hasn't gotten that knockout finish or that submission finish since 2010. So he's definitely wanting to get that finish, and he's going to have his chance against Nate Diaz.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Both Frankie Edgar fights ended very controversially. I believe Edgar won the first fight. I scored
Henderson?
Thank you. I believe Henderson won the first fight 4-1. I thought I scored the second for Frankie.
I didn't get a chance to watch the second, but I heard similar things where a lot of people thought Edgar maybe or Henderson maybe stole that one.
I gave Edgar 4-1, and this came up during the press conferences. How good does Benson Henderson have to look against Diaz to solidify his claim as the best lightweight in the world? Does he need to finish? Like you said, he hasn't finished someone since what, April 2010?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. I think with a definite decision victory, at least, it has to not be in the air. It has to be unanimous, and it has to be clear that Henderson won to cement his status as the best lightweight in the world. Because I don't know if you agree with me, but I feel like when it comes to the pound-for-pound rankings, Henderson's not really getting looked at as much
as
he should.
No.
I think Henderson is in the top 10 pound for pound. I think he's not really, you know, as that reporter said and Dana said, getting his due. I think he deserves more respect for his talents.
Definitely. Okay, as we kind of break down this fight, when you talk about what do you think is going to make the difference? Me personally, I think it's going to be I think you brought it up as a strength, the kind of diverse striking.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Diaz brothers, including Nate, both just come forward with their boxing. And I think Henderson was going to be able to use the kicks, his really good work in the clinch. We saw him do a beautiful up kick against Edgar. That wasn't by luck.
No, he threw that.
It was a strategically timed kick. I think that's going to be a huge difference is we see Henderson do a lot of different things when he's on his feet.
I agree 100%. I agree. My key to this fight is defense. With tight defense, you can beat Nate Diaz, I feel like. And, you know, but if you do leave yourself open and he starts tagging you, those punches will just swarm quickly. And you could get dropped. I think with tight defense, if Benson Henderson keeps the fight close, I think Henderson wants to keep the distance. I think he wants to keep it in the clinch almost, like kind of rough Diaz up. I don't think he wants to just stand in circle with Diaz where Diaz can kind of, you know, get some range, work the jab. I think he wants to bring the fight to Diaz, and I think that's what he needs to do.
All right, let's get to some other fights on the card. We'll come back. We'll do the pick. We'll do picks a little later. The co-main event is now a light heavyweight title eliminator. Alexander Gustafsson, Mauricio Shogun Hua. You look at Shogun Hua's last fights. He has a TKO victory over Brandon Vera on the last Fox show.
Man, what a great fight that was, too.
Yeah, Shogun's been up and down. He's had wins. He's had a loss followed by a win in his last six fights. He lost to Machida at UFC 104 in the title fight. He then beat Machida for the title at UFC 113, lost to Jones, beat Forrest Griffin in Brazil, lost to Hendo in an absolute war in the best MMA fight that I've personally ever seen, mm-hmm. comes back and then beats Brandon Vera. Now he's fighting Gustafsson, who is a up-and-coming prospect. Alexander Gustafsson is the crown jewel of the light heavyweight division. Five straight victories, the last coming against Thiago Silva. He's got wins over Vladimir Matyushenko and Matt Hamill. His only career loss is to Phil Davis in his second UFC fight. What do you think is going to make the difference in this fight, Gustafsson versus Shogun?
Size. I think Gustafsson is he's 6'5". He's just a much bigger guy. And a problem that Shogun had with John Jones was John Jones was just a much bigger guy. It was hard for Shogun. Shogun likes to lunge in with his punches. He loves that, you know, that straight right when he lunges in and catches people right on the jaw. It's going to be hard to do that against a 6'5". You know, built guy like Alexander Gustafsson. So if I were to say one thing, I'd definitely say size, and Gustafsson's got the advantage.
I would definitely agree. And the winner of this fight gets a title fight. And Gustafsson he's a young kid, man. He's 25 years old. I think him and Jones is the fight that the UFC wants to put together.
So oh, clearly,
new
yeah.
blood in that UFC light heavyweight division.
Do you think if Jones beats Gustafsson, do you think he moves to heavyweight?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think what else is there.
Exactly. Who else does he have to beat?
The only guy he really hasn't fought would be Dan Henderson.
Yeah.
And so now Dan Henderson has to face Lyoto Machida.
Which is going to be a great fight.
Which is going to be a great fight. And
then, I mean, yeah, so what else would there to be? And I think he said that he wants to, by the end of 2013, he wants to be at heavyweight.
Yeah, I think 2013 is his last fight. I think he fights twice in 2013, April and then in the fall.
He fights Sonnen and then whoever.
Sonnen on April 27th. Gustafsson. And then maybe Gustafsson Shogun. Who knows?
We'll see.
Your boy, BJ Penn. Against Rory McDonald and Blaine. These guys don't like each other.
No, there was animosity.
There was legit animosity between these two
fighters. They've been talking, and it's rare to see that from BJ Penn. He doesn't usually...
Rory, too, I think.
Neither of these guys usually get upset about one another, man, but they just, for some reason, they just do not like each other. And, I mean, you can see in the press conference, it started way back, you know, when they were tweeting at each other saying, like, or Rory McDonald said about how he was like 200 something pounds and BJ Penn was like, great, I love knocking out like 200 pounders or whatever. Yep. And man, this is going to be a great fight. I think it's going to be closer than some people expect. I think people are almost, you know, it's kind of reminded me of the whole Brandon Schaub and Minotaur Noguera, where Brandon Schaub was this rising heavyweight prospect. And everybody's saying, you know, oh, Schaub. Like, I don't remember anybody picking Big Nog. You and I both had Schaub in that fight.
Mm-hmm. We were shocked when Schaub.
Yeah, and then Minotaro comes out and knocks Schaub out. You know, I feel like people cannot sleep on BJ Penn, especially a focused and in-shape BJ Penn. Now, that being said, Rory McDonald's a different monster. He is He's been trained in MMA, all facets of MMA, his entire career. And man, is he good at all of them. Now, definitely, I think this is one. It's going to be a huge test for Rory. What do you think?
Yeah, McDonald seems to be that new breed of fighters that Dana White says they've been training UFC their whole life. You know, a lot of these veteran guys, they kind of got into the sport late because it was still a growing sport.
Yeah, and even people like
it still is.
Even people as young as Gustafsson. Gustafsson didn't start training MMA. He started training kickboxing, didn't he? Or Muay Thai. He was a striker first.
You look at McDonald, he's 23, 6 foot, 170 pounds, only lost to Carlos Condit.
And he pushed Condit to the edge.
Condit knocked him out with 7 seconds left on the clock in the fight. Since then, he's got wins over Nate Diaz, Mike Pyle, Chae Mills. But BJ Penn, I think you can easily make that case. It's a huge step up in competition.
Yeah.
Especially since Mike Pyle and Chae Mills. Now, he's finished both of those guys. Finished both of them before the third round. He finished Chae Mills in the second, finished Mike Pyle in the first. But BJ Penn, listen, he's a veteran. He knows what to do in the octagon. He's seen everything. He's seen George St. Pierre twice.
Mm-hmm.
He is not, I don't think McDonald can do anything that BJ Penn's not going to see. Now, that being said, the last time we saw BJ Penn at welterweight wasn't a pretty sight.
No, it wasn't. I mean, he has struggled at 170 because, I mean, but at one point he was a champion at 170. So you can say, you know, he hasn't done well at 170 in the past, but, you know, he fought to a draw with John Fitch, who's arguably one of the best wrestlers in the division and is much bigger than himself. The Diaz fight, yeah, he lost by decision, but it was fight of the night. He brought it to Diaz. It was a war. And I just think that people should not sleep on BJ Penn. He knocked out one of the greatest welterweights in the history of the division, and Matt Hughes in 23 seconds. So I just feel like, I think McDonald should be favored for a reason. I would not be surprised if BJ shocked people.
All right, last fight on the main card, Matt the Immortal Brown versus Mike Swick. Mike Swick made a triumphant return to the octagon at the last Fox show.
And yeah, it was really impressive, and it made me happy to
big
see.
Big knockout over
especially
DeMarcus
since
Johnson.
The health thing with the stomach or the false diagnosis on him. It was really good to see him come out and get that knockout.
Swick got his first win in the UFC since he beat Ben Saunders in 2009. He'd lost two in a row. First fight since 2010. He knocks out DeMarcus Johnson. Matt Brown is on a 3-fight winning streak. He wins over Luis Ramos, Stephen Thompson, and Chris Cope. This is an interesting fight in the welterweight division because I feel like the winner of this fight propels himself into that upper tier with Ellenberger, Koscheck, Hendricks, Kampman, guys like that.
You can say Condit now, too.
Exactly, Condit, McDonald. The winner of this fight kind of puts themselves up there.
Yeah, it definitely puts them in the conversation to maybe where they get, or maybe two or three fights away from a title shot. And especially if you're Matt Brown, if you get a fourth win, maybe string together another win, maybe after this, if he wins, it's Hendricks. Give him Hendricks.
Maybe Hendricks, maybe Jake Shields. There's a lot of things you can do.
A
lot of big names.
Welterweight is a stacked division right now, and you can do a lot of things with somebody like Matt Brown or Mike Swick. Mike Swick, it's a great story having him come back and, you know, look as good as he did against DeMarcus Johnson. We'll see if it will carry forward against Matt Brown. What do you think? How do you think this fight's going to go? Do you see Matt Brown, you know, notching his fourth win in this win streak? Or do you think Mike Swick continues his climb from his comeback?
Obviously, I don't want to give anything away. I think it's going to be a really good fight. I think the power of Mike Swick is something that you can't overlook.
No, he's got knockout power
with one hand. DeMarcus Johnson saw that. You look at Matt Brown, he's got 8 wins by knockout, 5 wins by submission. Very well-rounded guy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's a brown belt in judo. He's a purple belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He hasn't lost since 2011, over a year now. He's already 3-0.
He controlled Stephen Thompson. A lot of people thought Stephen Thompson
was your boy, and we both like Stephen Thompson a lot.
Yeah, and it's been tough seeing what Stephen Thompson's going through with his knee injuries.
Yep.
But Stephen Thompson's a very dangerous dude.
Tough kickboxer.
And Matt Brown controlled that fight.
And that was when Stephen Thompson was like a big prospect.
Yeah, I think he still is.
Yeah.
But the loss definitely set him back.
Yeah.
The loss and the injuries have set him back a tad.
And both guys are veteran savvy. I mean, 26 fights for Brown, 19 fights for Swick.
Yeah, Swick's been in the UFC for a while too. So, real quick, we're gonna talk about prelims real fast. Give me a fight that you're looking forward to in the prelims, specifically the FX prelims. Although you can say the Jorgensen fight on Facebook as well.
I'm going to take Eves Edwards versus Jeremy Stephens. I really like watching Jeremy Stephens fight, and I know he had some legal trouble in Iowa. He got arrested, was able to get out. Now they're obviously going through with his fight. I look at his last fights, and he's lost to Donald Cerrone by unanimous decision. He lost a split decision to Anthony Pettis, lost a split decision to Melvin Guillard. This guy is always in good fights, and he's always there, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing him fight. He's the last fight on the FX card. What about you?
I would have to say the fight I'm most looking forward to is the Mike Easton fight. Mike Easton is a rising prospect in that 135 division. I mean, he's nicknamed the Hulk for a reason. He's a beast. He has wins against Ivan Minvar, Josh Ferguson, Jod Dodson, who's fighting for the flyweight championship right now. He has looked impressive in his past fights. So it'll be interesting to see if he can continue this rise and maybe get in the 135 title picture pretty soon.
All right, let's do picks now. We'll pick the four fights on the main card. We'll go bottom to top. We'll start with Matt Brown versus Mike Swick. Blaine, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one.
All right.
I'm going to go with Matt Brown on this one. Don't get me wrong, Mike Swick has that knockout power in his hands. Matt Brown, I think, has looked impressive in his last three fights, getting two TKOs and then controlling Stephen Thompson for three rounds. I think Matt Brown comes in here and controls the fight and notches out a decision victory.
I'm going to go Mike Swick by knockout. I'm going to go Mike Swick by second round knockout. I think it's going to be a good first round. I think maybe there's some feeling out process. And I think the
Swick
power,
catches him.
I think Swick catches him, pounces on him. I think Swick improves to 2-0 in his comeback.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, BJ Penn, Rory McDonald.
Oh, man, you go first. This is tough for me.
It's going to be tough one for you. I'm going to pick Rory McDonald. I'm going to pick Rory McDonald by a closer-than-you-would-seem decision, meaning Rory McDonald could very well win the fight 30-27 by each judge. But I think they're going to be hard-fought, contested rounds. BJ does damage and Roy's face doesn't look as pretty as it does now. But I do think Rory McDonald will win a unanimous decision.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this is BJ Penn's last fight inside the UFC?
I hope not. I really want to see BJ Penn make another run at lightweight.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can make 155 anymore. I know it's tough for fighters as they get older to make the cut weight. Mm-hmm. But it depends how bad he gets beaten, because the fight against Nick Diaz, he said, I don't want my kids to see me like this.
Yeah,
and I don't want my kids to see me with my eyes swollen shut and, blood everywhere. I think if Rory McDonald puts another beating like him, like Nick Diaz did,
then he's done.
He put a beating on Nick Diaz as well.
Nick Diaz didn't look great after the fight either.
But if BJ Penn gets beat up like he did, I don't know why you stay, man. You're already a legend. You already have a gym in Hawaii. You already have BJPenn.com, which is a big MMA journalist site.
It's a growing site, yeah.
I don't know what else is there to prove. So yeah, I have McDonald, unanimous decision.
Okay, I'm going to have to go with Rory McDonald as well by decision. It's hard to me. BJ Penn's a hero to me. When I was growing up watching the sport, one of the first fights I remember is the BJ Penn versus Sean Sherk fight. Like that's one of those first UFC memories I have, and man, I remember watching BJ Penn with hair. Like it's it's tough watching a hero kind of decline like this. But you know what? I think Rory is a bigger guy. I think the size will have a lot to deal with this fight. BJ Penn struggled with size like against GSP, maybe John Fitch a little bit. So yeah, I'm gonna have to pick Rory McDonald by decision, man. But man, would it make me happy if BJ Penn got a victory here?
All right, the light heavyweight eliminator, Alexander Gustafsson versus Mauricio Shogun-Hua. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go with the Mauler, Alexander Gustafsson. I think that, don't get me wrong, Mauricio Shogun-Hua is a legend in the sport. In Pride, it was amazing watching him fight and seeing stuff he's done, and he hasn't had a terrible run. It all depends what kind of Shogun comes in. Is it the Shogun that comes in like the second Lyoto fight where he's in shape? You know, he looks good. Or is it the Shogun that came in against John Jones where he looked chubby and he looked out of shape?
Yep.
And he was in there to lose against John Jones. He didn't come in from the very beginning when John Jones kind of threw that flying knee. You knew. You're like, no, there's no way Shogun's winning this fight. We're going to have a new UFC light heavyweight championship.
Yep.
So it depends on what Shogun comes in. I think Alexander Gustafsson is an absolute destroyer. I think
he's a mauler.
That's funny how he has that nickname. it's coincidental. So yeah, I think Gustafsson stops him. I think Gustafsson gets a finish in the third round. I think he TKO in the third. I think the ref stops in the third.
All right, I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna pick Shogun. I'm looking at Gustafsson's last opponents: Thiago Silva, Vladimir Matyushenko, Matt Hamill. And I think Shogun is such a huge step up in competition.
I'm not saying
he's not ready. But you look at Shogun, like maybe even take out Brandon Vera. Dan Henderson lost, Forrest Griffin win, John Jones lost, Machida twice, Chuck Liddell, Forrest Griffin, and Alistair Overeem. Shogun, I think that experience that Shogun has, and I don't think, let's put it this way. I don't think Gustafsson is the best fighter Shogun has faced, or I think Gustafsson is the best fighter that...
Okay, so you think... Okay,
Shogun Gustafsson, is the best fighter that Gustafsson has faced. Gustafsson's not the best fighter Shogun has faced.
Yeah, but I was gonna counter you with the whole, like, this is definitely a step up in competition for Gustafsson. Before John Jones fought Shogun...
That's true.
John Jones, his best match was Stephen Bonner.
Mm-hmm. And again, in MMA, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to predict because you have 4 ounce gloves on. You don't know. I'm gonna go
and
Shogun.
With the size and the power, the fight can end within a second.
I'm gonna go Shogun late first round TKO.
Wow, first round.
I think he's gonna finish Gustafsson in the first. All right, Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz for the UFC lightweight championship.
Give me your pick
of the world. I'm gonna pick Henderson by a close decision. I think it's another close decision. I don't know if it's gonna be controversial. I don't. But I think this is the kind of fight where you're going to have a lot of hard rounds to score. You're going to have a lot of hard rounds to score, but I think Henderson wins a unanimous decision close.
Man, I'm so excited for this fight. I am absolutely pumped for this fight. I'm going to have to go with Henderson as well, with Benson, the old boy out of Glendale. Well, Seattle, but, you know, he trains in Glendale. Phoenix has adopted him. He threw out the first pitch in the Dynamax game. He's a Phoenician. Is that what it is? Phoenician?
Arizonian?
Yeah. Phoenician? Benson, yeah, I think Benson's going to win. I think he's going to get a finish, too. I think he's going to finish Diaz.
My ears perked up a little bit when you said finish.
I know. You kind of – you know what? I consider me an optimist, but – but if it is a decision, man, it's going to be a war.
It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. However long it goes, it's going
to
be great.
I think Benson finishes him. I think it goes to the championship rounds. In fourth or fifth, I think Benson finishes it in the championship rounds.
Awesome. You know what? I'm pretty happy that we actually have like different picks.
Yeah, usually we
agree on a lot.
Although, what has happened in the past when we do different picks?
Well, I don't want to talk about it. That's the past.
Closes out, Ryan.
That's the pass. Well, thank you for listening to The Devil's Cage UFC on Fox. Catch it again Saturday, December 8th, 8 Eastern, 6 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, 5 o'clock Pacific. For Blaine Ferguson, I'm Ryan Bafalukas. Enjoy the fights, everybody. We'll see you next time.
The angel opens her eyes. The confusion sets in. Before the doctor can even close the door, lightning crashes, an old mother dies. Her intentions fall to the floor. I can feel